Praise God for you. It didn't matter. The Bible said where two or three gather together, that there's many more than that here tonight. He's with them. Remember those in camp. They've got a long week, the adults especially. Kids will be wore out, much less the adults that will be there all week, day and night. And be with them, that God will take care of them and give souls. God will touch Brother Mike as he stands. I've never heard him preach. I know he's part of the Locklear family, but I've never met him that I remember. But they're having him tonight. And I'm going to go over, hope that you get to go over some. It's going to be around 7 is when they'll preach. Maybe a little before that sometimes, a little after that. But it'll be during that time. And so a lot of our people are over there tonight already. So God bless you. This is Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to everybody. This is the last that we'll get blessed as fathers for a while. So enjoy today. Enjoy the things of the Lord. I'd like for you to stand. We're going to continue the sermon this morning. We'll be turning to Psalms 128. I'd like for you to go back to the book of Haggai. We're going to turn there again. I want us to go there quickly tonight. But find Haggai. We're not going to read from there. But Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. And find it, turn there, and just keep your finger there. It won't be too long that God will do it. Now, when you find Haggai, and I had to find it myself to give you time, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 128, and that's where we'll be reading from tonight. If you missed this morning's sermon, go ahead, please, and listen to it, because I'm not going to go over it again, and it'll flow right into tonight's service. But we're talking about the simple path to a happy life, a simple path to a completed life, a fulfilled life in Jesus Christ. And too many Christians don't have that. We need that. We must have that today. And may God bless us to have that. So in the book of Psalms, chapter 128, if you're there, look to your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. Okay. Sister, he's beyond help. Just go ahead and let him look off yours. Psalms 128, verse 1. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Father, we thank you for all you mean to us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your promises. We pray, Father, that you'd be with each one that is here tonight, that the word would be strong and powerful. Give us clarity of mind and heart, each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated now. This is the wonderful chapter. Of course, again, this is a psalm of degrees or a song of degrees. And that has a tremendous amount of meaning as we went over this morning. And it's a wisdom psalm that builds off of each one of them as they travel. You just get stronger and stronger in the wisdom of God. The Bible here calls out three blessings, a threefold blessing that hears that you and I, when we fulfill the requirements here of fearing the Lord and of walking in His ways, as verse 1 says, that's the two things that we have to do simply. That's it. The Bible said there's a threefold blessing, that we will have the power to be happy, that you and I as children of God will have the power to make our home what God wants it to be, what we want it to be. That God will give us that power, that He'll give us the ability to do those things for Christ, and that He'll give us the power to transform our nation, to transform those around us, that we can reach out and change them. But not only did we talk about a threefold blessing today, we didn't get to the part in verse 1 that tells you and I about this threefold thought that God is sending to us. You may underline, as I've underlined in my Bible, three words, blessed and feareth and walketh in verse 1. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. It tells us that when we do three things, that when we do those things that God has for us to do, that we'll have happiness, we'll have joy, we'll have peace in our life. And we'll live through that. It's a continual thing that God blesses in our life when we do that. Now, God said for you and I, children of God, to do those things. That He said, blessed are you, happy are you. And He multiplies that happiness to us when we fear Him. And the Bible talks about that as being a reverence mainly. And not, I love my dad, but I never feared my dad. I never ran, unless he had a belt in his hand, from my dad. I may have ran one time when I was a young man. I started to say I had never ran from him, but I did. And he caught me. Didn't have to catch me. I come back to him, and he whooped me pretty hard. But anyway, we done that. But I never feared him in that way. I respected him, and I looked to him as someone that would guide me and help me. I knew he loved me. But there was something about him that was different than anybody else, and it would be the same today. My dad walked in today, I would honor him. I would honor him greatly. And I would see if he needed anything. I would do anything I could for him, not just on Father's Day, but because I stood in awe of him. I stood in reverence of him and his stand that he took before me. And God is saying here that this is blessed as a man that does that, and that he shall prosper in his way. That is what Psalms 119 says. Now, I want you to turn to Haggai. We actually was there this morning, and we went a little bit past this place, but in chapter 1 of Haggai, we have something that is wonderful. Now, the prophet Haggai here in the Old Testament, he warned the Jews when they return from Jerusalem to be careful that they put God number one and that they allow the Word of God to set the line or the lineage of their life, that their circumference would be bound and held by the Word of God. That's exactly what Psalms 128:1 says. It says you and I are to fear the Lord, to keep the Lord number one in our lives, and that we're to walk in His ways. Well, His ways are determined by the Word of God. That's how He's revealed His ways to us. And the Bible said that we are to listen to them and obey them to the best of our ability. And God said that I'll give you blessing. Now listen to what Haggai said, because it's very important to understand that the blessing of God will be held from a life, no matter what you are, who you are, if you don't walk in His ways. He will not bless what you do. The Bible said, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. What Haggai is saying, listen, if you don't walk in God's ways, if you don't fear Him, reverence Him, if you forget who He is, and they did, then you're going to work hard, but you'll have nothing to show for it. You're going to have a whole lot of things happen, and you're going to be able to eat, but the eating will not even fill you. You won't enjoy your life. There'll be no happiness, no completeness in your life. See, God wants you to enjoy the fruit of your work. He wants, I think that, and I've tried to live a life up through there to enjoy where God put me, no matter where He put me. I see some people, and they'll get a job here, and they'll be disgruntled there. They'll get another job. They're not happy there. They'll go to another place. They're not happy there. They wouldn't be happy anywhere. They're praying that God would lead them, but they won't be happy where they are. They won't bloom where they're planted. They won't be contented in the place that God has put them until He moves them, and they're continually unhappy. They're continually complaining. The Bible says that you can do that. And that's not the way God made it. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, it says that He took the man and the woman and placed them in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And He did that to give them something to do, to fulfill their lives, to bless them, and God did bless them. And the Bible tells you and I that we need to understand that God wants to give reward, but He gives reward through our work, and that we're to enjoy what we're doing. If you don't enjoy your work, you got a life that's sad. You have no happiness. My goodness, you need to enjoy where you're going to be three-fourths of your day. And learn to be content. Learn to be there. Now, if something's happened, you want to be moved, pray. Ask the Lord. Seek the Lord and say, God, help me to bloom here. Help me to be happy here. Help me to show my witness here. But God, if you've got a better place for me, I'd sure like to have it. and pray for it. And God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll change your heart to what His will is in your life. But put Him first, and to put His ways first in your life. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, you labor in vain to build it. You can't do it. It's empty. It's useless. And God is saying that you need to do that. Now, we talked this morning about in verse 2 of our finances. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. The Bible tells you and I that David said that he had not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The Bible tells you and I again that my God, Paul said, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. That's a lot of riches. God's got it. He doesn't want to withhold it. But the Bible says that for you and I to be blessed of the Lord, that again, we've got to fear the Lord. We've got to walk in His ways. You can't just say, I'm a Christian and do what you want to do. You can't do it. God said there's conditions to receiving my blessing, and they're not hard. It's so simple to do. And the Bible says, I want you to do that, and I want you to fear me and to walk in my ways. But then He said in verse 2 again, He said, happy shalt thou be. And God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have smiles on our face. Now, there's sorrow. We in our prayer requests, I kept thinking, my goodness, there's so many people hurting. There's so many people struggling. And there is that. There are a few days and full of trouble. But God said that those who are saved, those that fear me, reverence me, those that walk in my ways shall be happy. It's a promise of God. A lot of us, I think, are happy here, but we don't let it come out here sometimes. And as children of God, we need to do that. We need to let the world see what God has done for us, not fake, but real, and allow God to speak through our mouths like He does through our heart, and God will bless us. God is saying here that we need to do some things that is right. Now, Brother Buddy's not able to be here tonight, but Buddy can talk about this a whole lot better than me. I don't know a lot about a camera. I need one that's fully automated, you know. But I've learned, I've read a little directions, and the camera that I have, I don't have a whole lot of adjustments. I can't set the light, the time, the duration, whatever. I can't do any of that. Don't know how. But my camera, and my phone's good. It does everything. You know, all I've got to do, I've got a little rectangle in my phone, and it's got three tight places that it takes a picture from. Boy, it takes good pictures. But all I got to do is show that on you, and I've got to get that rectangle right. Everything that I want in the picture has to be in that rectangle, and everything that I don't want in the picture has to be outside the rectangle. And it's got a little thing right in the center that wherever I want that picture to be in the center, I keep it on that little spot. That is exactly what these verses are saying. That is what we're talking about tonight. God is saying, listen, keep me as the center of your life. I need you to fear me, reverence me, make your decisions by me. The Bible said in Hebrews that you and I are to lay aside the sins and the weights and run with patience this race that is set before each of us, looking unto Jesus, not circumstances, not our brother or sister, not the pastor, not the deacons, not anybody. We're to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we look to. And the Bible said, make me, God said, the center. But we also have a rectangle there just like the camera does. The Word of God sets that boundary. The Bible said in Psalms 1, or 128:1, that we're to walk in the ways of God. And the ways of God is what I'm talking about that sets our boundaries. To take a good picture, to live a good life, we got to make sure everything is in the boundaries of the Word of God in our lives. And that everything we don't want in our lives or God doesn't want in our lives has to be out, has to be outside of that picture. That is walking in the ways of the Lord. That is allowing God to have His way. When we get outside of that, when we go beyond the boundaries that God's Word set for us, let's learn from it. Let's learn from it because we're outside the blessing of the Lord. And get back in where God can bless us and God can help us to serve Him. And that is what the Scripture is talking about here. It tells you and I to do that. So God says, get me in the center. Look at things through me. Live your life in my word. Allow me to bless you and to comfort you and to help you. And God will. But He not only talks about our finances, He talks about our feelings, but He talks about our future in verse 2 also. And it shall be well with thee. I'm not only going to be happy now, I'm going to already be happy in the future. He's already ahead of me. He's already in my future. He's already ordained my steps. Now, they not, may not be steps I would order, but God will work good in even the worst of them. All things will work good because I am trying to walk in His ways. I am trying to keep Him as the center of my life, and God blesses me. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like to just you and I living our lives? Well, it means that we get up of tomorrow morning and we say, God, we want you to be with us today. Guide us today. I've got work to go to. I've got an appointment here. I've got something to do here. I'm going to do those things. But God, in the midst of that, you take over my life. You guide me. You stop me from doing anything. And this is in our prayer. And we say it willfully, saying, God, you have your way in my life. Help me to put you in the center of my life. Help me to keep my thoughts anchored and centered on you, and you go with me. And that is our attitude as we begin our day. The Bible said, David said, early will I seek thee. And they that seek me early, God says, shall find me. And we seek him early. We seek him when we get up. I pray a lot of times before I even get out of bed. But I'll go into my study with a cup of coffee, and I'll just pray, and I'll seek the Lord, and I'll do some studying or something, but I'll meditate, and I'll praise the Lord and thank God every morning. Now, I've got a little luxury that you don't have. I can do that more now than I used to did. Now, I used to get in bed late because I'd have revivals, and I'd have to study and had to do all of this other. It was hard for a lot of years when it was bivocational. It was much harder, but I did it, and you can do it. I would stop at work, and I wouldn't go in. I would wait out in the truck for 10 or 15 minutes, and I would pray. See, God, I'm going to face things today that I don't know how to handle right now. I don't know what they are, but I want you to help me, guide me. Help me to react the right way when people hit me the wrong way. Help me to not let them see anything that would cause them to doubt my testimony and to doubt you in my life. And God, help me in that. So we all can do that. We all should do that. We all must do that because God says that's when you're happy. That is when I'm going to take care of you. And there are going to be times in your life, days in your life, that your feet are knocked out from under you. There are going to be times that you don't know how to handle the situation, but God does. And if you've committed your life to the Lord, if you've made Him the center of your life, if you said, God, you take over my life, and you meant that, God will, and He'll help you in that. So there is a picture that we need to get in our minds of what it looks like for a man to put Christ, or a woman to put Christ as number one and do their best to follow that during the day, but also to walk in His ways. When people anger us, try not to get angry. When they say things to us, try not to retaliate. Try not to get even. Be what God would have you to be. Allow the fruit of the Spirit that's already given to you by the Holy Spirit to work in your life, and allow the gifting of the Spirit to come out in your life and serve the Lord the best you can with failure, with everything else, and God will bless you. Isn't that wonderful that God will take care of your life? That God will lift you up, that God will bless you in those things. And that is what the Bible is talking about here. Not only for today, but He'll do it already in the future as you serve the Lord. Now, look at verse 3. It talks about our family here, your family, my family, the family of God. It pulls in. It said, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Now, when a man is happy and a woman is happy and the marriage is together, it works. But one of the most miserable places, and I've seen a lot of it, is when the one is pulling against the other, or they're not trying to pull together. But the Bible gives here a picture and gives an illustration. Now, you don't have to have children to have this blessing. You don't have to be married to have this blessing. Remember verse 1 said, blessed is everyone. It talks about boys and girls there. It talks about those unmarried there. It talks about those that have no children there. It's all right. It talks about everyone, that this blessing is there, but it uses an illustration in one of the harshest areas of our life. One of the hardest things for a child of God to do consistently is for a dad to be a good dad and a mom to be a good mom, to be a good husband or to be a good wife. That's hard. It takes diligence. It takes consecration. It takes dedication. And you know that. You know that. I'm sure that Emily, even with Matthew, as perfect as he is, has had trouble, you know. She's had trouble from time to time. Is that right, sister? Oh, yeah. No. Well, I used the wrong one. Matthew is perfect. I'm sure she wants to take that back. But anyway, all of us, we've had trouble. You have trouble. We're different people. We're different human beings. And it's hard. And it takes work, toil. But God said, I will bless that. And there's no greater example of two children of God when they come together as husband and wife, when they live rightly. They put God number one, and then they put the ways of God number two, and they try to live out their role in the marriage. There's no greater light, no greater testimony to the world than two people like that, doing what God has called them to do, and God uses it here. He said, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Now, the wife does three things there. Number one, the wife is clinging. That's what a vine does. You get a vine to the side of the house and it grows up the house. It's clinging to that house. The house is the man. The Bible's already said the man clings to the wife. Remember in Genesis, the Bible said that a man is to leave his husband, leave his mom and dad and cling unto his wife. He's already clinging. He's already provided the hold that the wife can get a hold of. The good husband is the one that is strong, the protector, the one that stands by there. And this is a happy man. This is a man that's glad to stand for his wife, glad to stand for his family. And then the wife, she becomes something that is wonderful in herself. The Bible says here that she's contented and she cleaves unto that wall, unto the husband. And the Bible says that makes them happy. That makes them glorious. You and I as children of God, those of us that are married, and if you're unmarried, you can use this too. If one's outstripped you in life, it's still true to you that God wants to bless you in this. And God wants you to be that light to them and allow yourself to cling to each other. The devil's going to tear you apart. The devil is doing all he can to tear marriages apart, to tear the love down, to get us to looking other places, to get us to doing things that are not conducive to a good marriage. And the Bible says you've got to fight for that because that's holy. That's holy ground when two people come together like that. The first thing the woman does is she is to cling. She's not to run away, not to walk away. The man is to cling. He is not to look away, to push away. No, sir. But the second thing it talks about here is it climbs. Once that wife has found support, once that man has found support, we climb, we grow. We grow. Not only did he tell the children to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but we should be doing that. And men, we need to be supplying a place, a wall of protection, a wall of security that a wife feels comfortable in, that they can grow in God's nurture, in God's admonition, that they can grow as women, that they can grow as Christian ladies, that God will grow them. And our life should be toward our wives that causes them the avenue to grow in them. Our words should be tender. Our words should be helpful. They should be uplifting. And that is what it's talking about here. That is the illusion here, that this wall is here for this vine. The wall provides what the vine needs, that the vine might cling and that it might grow, that it might go up. But ladies, you're doing the same thing. You're not trying to make this man like you want him to be. You're not trying to mold him into this. Listen, a vine has to grow. You can cut it down and cut it off. But you'll kill its support. You'll kill its meaning. You'll kill its beauty. And the picture here is to allow it to grow to reach its potential. And that is what we have to do. She climbs, she clings, but also she clusters. The Bible here says she bears fruit. Bears fruit. And I like that. She repays all back that you put into it. And it's wonderful. I thought today, little Cora come up and got that card. And I said, yeah, she might give it to him, but she'll get it back. It'll be hers. And that's the way it is. We give. See, the marriage is not 50-50. It's not 100%, 100%. You're all the time giving 150%, no matter if the other one gives anything. That's what a good marriage is talked about. The wall is there, whether the wife clings, whether the wife climbs, whether the wife clusters with fruit. It's there no matter what. The man is the man that stands. We're the godly man. We're the happy man, the man that provides the wall. But then the woman also is in her element. She is doing what God would have her to do. She stays in her role. He stays in his role. And God blesses that marriage. And the Bible says when a person keeps God as number one in their life, keeps God in control of their life, and then they walk in the ways of the Lord, they'll do it God's way. And God blesses that home. He blesses that union, that one where two was one, became one in that supernatural union of God. God blesses that, and God does it. And she becomes a fruitful vine. He becomes a fruitful wall that is there. But notice what it says. It also says about their children. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Now, we prayed in Israel at the Garden of Gethsemane. And the olive trees there, something that's beautiful about an olive tree, some of you are familiar with blueberries. Blueberries do the same thing. Now, blueberries, you cut off all the dead wood that's not accumulating anything, and it will come from the roots. And a good blueberry tree that has got peat moss around it, it's got all the nutrients that it needs, it'll be shooting shoots up. And those shoots are wonderful. You don't want to cut those off. You don't let the weed eater hit them. Let them grow. And let them become, because when it gets a year old, then the fruit starts coming, and they'll fruit for a few years, but after a while, you'll cut them back off. But it always shoots out more. It shoots out more and more. And a blueberry does that if the ground is correct, if the nurture around it is correct. Olive trees are the same way. These thousand-year-old olive trees that we knelt down to pray close by, they had shoots coming out of them, brand-new little shoots. The tree that we saw there was hundreds of years old, but it wasn't there when Christ was there, but the root was. The old tree had died. But the olive tree, as long as there's a little bit of green on that whole root, the big old root, as long as there's a little bit of green on that, it'll shoot forth these young ones. And that is exactly the picture that is here. The olive tree shoots forth those little ones, and our children and our children's children, as the Bible says here, are blessed by the legacy that we leave. Olive trees grow best in hard ground. Hard ground. We make it too easy on our children. I'll say that again. We make it too easy on our children. I hear it all the time. Well, I want them to have a better life than I had. No, you make it so easy that when they get older and they marry themselves, they don't know how to deal with life's hardships. They don't know how to deal with the hard things of life. And we make it too easy. But olive trees, and that's what a child over and over in the Bible is compared to, grow best when it's hard. They don't grow good in good soil. They really don't. They shoot a root deep into the ground when the ground is rocky and hard. And they get settled and they get situated. And your children need to know how to work. They need to know how to toil. If they're ladies, they need to know how to take care of those things that you have to take care of. You don't need to do it all for them. And if they're men, if they're young boys, you need to treat them as a man and treat them differently because God made them different. And we treat them that way and we make them work. I had to work. I don't regret it. Thank God for it. It taught me to work today and to be able to carry on today. But we have children being brought up today that don't have any idea how to work because they've never been asked to, never been made to at times. But I got to hurry. I digress here. Not only does olive grow best in the hard grounds, but olives are slow to grow. When you set an olive out, it'll be 7 years before you'll even see a little bit of fruit. It'll be 14 years before you can gather that fruit and it'll be any good. It takes time. But once established, it's established. And when we grow our children that way, we have to be patient with them. The Bible said, train up a child in the way it'll go, and when it's old, it will not return void. We need to understand that and be patient with the family that God has given to us. And by the way, the husband needs to be patient with the wife. The wife needs to be patient with the husband. Our task is to grow each other. Our task is to help each other become the man or the woman that God has called us to be. That's what God has called us to do. And as children of God, that's what happens. So God says, listen, to me as a man, on Father's Day, he said this. He said, I want you to be that wall that'll grow your wife. That wall that'll cling to her, that'll grow her, that she can cluster, that fruit can be come from her, that she'll reach her potential, and you'll be the reason for that. Allow her to do that. And to ladies, the same to your man. Allow them to grow. They're not you. They can't minister like you. They can't go like you. Listen to them. Listen to what they say. Listen to their hearts as they speak. They may not know what to say rightly, but you read between the lines. You know them. and find out what they need, and you provide that. And God will bless you for it. And God says for our children, the same thing is true. The same thing is true. I want my children, my grandchildren, not to think of me as a preacher. I used to think that. I wanted them to know I was a preacher and I pastored, and I could care less anymore. I could care less what they think about my sermons. But I do care that they know I'm a godly man. I want them to know that I love the Lord, and the Lord means everything to me. I want them to know that I'm willing to sacrifice for them, that I love them, and that God loves them. And I want to live that legacy that when I die, it will leave that to them, that they'll know it's right and leave something behind. We used to have, in our old house, we had a pile of topsoil that I had pushed up from the pond. And I remember we'd ride the four-wheeler on top, and on top I'd say, "We need to stop. We're on the mountain." I said, "We need to pray." And we would stop, turn off four-wheeler, and we'd pray. I had four of them on then. That's all I had. I think I had all four. But they were little, and they fit. And they wouldn't fit now at all. But we prayed. And it got to be and said, "Papa, let's go to the mountain and pray." Well, they would do that. And we would just ride over the mountain. They'd say, "Papa, we didn't pray," and we'd go back. So I was teaching them, and that's a little thing, I know. But boy, it brought joy to me. And they mentioned today, "Papa, we need another mountain." You know, Ellie don't know about the mountain. And these are my teenage girls talking now. But they remember that. And see, men, that's the legacy that we leave behind. I don't want them to think, "Well, he could make good money," or "he had a great job," or anything. I don't care. I don't care about that. But I want them to know that I was a godly man, that I tried to live for the Lord. And I want them to know that I failed just like they fail, and that I sought forgiveness of the Lord. And they see me also tender, and they see who I am. But they see me as a man of God. And that is what the preacher is talking about here. And God says, happy is that man. Happy is that man that does that. The Bible goes on. It talks about, we're about done. I thought about preaching on this more so tonight, but it talks about Israel. In verse 5 it says, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." Zion in the Bible is where God dwelt. Of course, it's Jerusalem, Zion, but it's where God dwelt. And out of where God dwelt, the blessings would come. And that is what the Bible is talking about here. That the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, that wherever God is, you find it. You stay there. And that is where God is going to bless you. That is where God is going to be where you would have him to be. "And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life," or the good of your family. Jerusalem was considered their home. That was what they prayed to if they were away from Jerusalem. And it's who they went to. And God said, God's going to see good in your family if you'll let him. How do we do that? Number one, we fear the Lord. And again, it doesn't mean to be afraid of God. That's not the meaning here. The meaning is to reverence him, to count him in awe. And in that reverence, it's going to be like our dad that was a good dad that we trusted. We may not agree, and you won't agree with God all the time. You can argue with him at times. But when we argue in the will of God, we win the argument. Because God allows us to do that. But we fear the Lord. We count him high. We reverence him. And because of that, we let him lead our life. We walk in his ways. So church, I'm asking you today to let that be your light. Tonight, what does God want you to do? I know what you've got planned. You know what you've got planned, maybe. You're going to go to bed. You know that. But what does God want in your life? What does he want? See, last night was disrupted. I woke up. I don't know why I woke up, but I woke up and noticed that the dog was pacing. He was wanting to go outside. Well, I got up. I tried to wake Donna up and get her to go. No, I didn't. But I went outside. I opened the door, and there was the mockingbirds that I told you about serenading each other. Beautiful. I thought about that. I'm going to go out hopefully tonight. If I wake up, I'm going to go out again and see if they're doing it again, you know, and listen to it. So beautiful. So beautiful. Just a common bird, nothing to look at. Boy, how beautiful their voices that God created them with. And in the darkest of the night, they were making music. That's exactly what God is talking about here. That no matter how dark your life may get, no matter how uncertain, no matter how harsh, you're going to be a happy person because you're fixed on the Lord and you're walking in His ways. You're doing what God would have you to do. I ran across this. I hadn't seen it in a long time. It says, in that which I am obedient, speaking of me to God, I am blessed. In that which I am disobedient, I am disciplined. That says a lot. It says that God loves me enough to discipline me. If we love our children, we will discipline them. But if they're obedient, we will bless them. And that's God to you and me. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, right where we are, we all struggle with things. We struggle with a lot. And God, we pray that you would touch our families, touch us as men, that we'll really be men, not be selfish, not desire our own way all the time. But God, we seek your way. And Lord, we're tender toward our wives. We're tender toward those that are our children, those around us that you've placed in our life. That God, you'd help us to be that wall for them, that they can cling to us. Feel the protection. And dear God, we'll receive more than we get. The devil has lies out there. He'll tell you the grass is greener on the other side. It never is. It never is. God, help us wherever we are in life to be content and to look to where we can make it better for those around us. But dear God, no matter what happens, no matter where we go, no matter how much life sends us, good or bad, help us to keep you as number one in our life. And help us, dear God, to walk in your ways, to do our best to keep your commands. Because in that, the man, the Christian man, the Christian woman, boy or girl, is blessed. We're happy, and we thank you for that. Help us now. Forgive us when we fail. Help us to serve you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you tonight. Please hold up every day the people at camp. It's hard. I've helped there, and it's really hard. And we're going to go over and be with them and help where we can some. I hope that you do that. 7 o'clock will be the service. You will enjoy the services. They get better as the week goes on every year. First day or two, the kids are timid, you know, and tepid. They don't want to move. They don't want to do much. But by Thursday, they have service. And, buddy, it's anointed, and Friday is always a wonderful time. So be sure you go some if you can and support all of our kids. I don't know how many they're having this year. Brother Gary said the number was down. But be much in prayer for them. That God will have his way. We got several that are very sick. Remember Joanne and James, remember them. Joanne's here tonight, and we appreciate you, sister, and us remember them in prayer. And also Mike and Joyce, they're in the Cobo Hospital still. And just remember them. I tried to call out here and couldn't even call them today, but I texted them and told them we was praying for them, love them. And if you can, get their number. We'll give it to you. She doesn't care, but you can call over there. He has a phone. And it's Mike Marfuda, M-A-R-F-U-D-A, I think, Marfuda, T-A, okay, that's a funny name, I've never heard it before, but, yes, and as it was said, there's no telling where he'll be. Just try to call, and it'll be a help. But remember the sermon today. It's been on my heart heavily for me and my family. Okay. Now they keep moving him, don't they? Anything else? All right. Everyone stand. God bless you. Happy Father's Day to you. We got a lot of fathers that are with their families tonight. Remember them. A lot of fathers in heaven tonight. May God bless you. Brother Ethan, would you dismiss us?